Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. I just want to let you know we have a groundbreaking show tonight, and we have an awesome lineup of guests that's just going to literally blow your socks off with information. I want to let you know the toll-free number to call in if you want to get involved in this conversation tonight is 888-627-6008, and I'm looking out over the horizon of a sun that just went down on beautiful Houston, Texas, and the Texas Medical Center, and I am honored to have our guests this evening. Next week, our show is going to be with Kayla J.W. Marnock. Kayla is coming back. She wrote the awesome Can Do series, My Body's Mind, and three others in that series, and she's going to be with us next week. And then the following week, the last Sunday night in September, we're going to have Andy Anderson. And I did an interview with Andy. We taped an interview with her in Avaya University. Her and Ike do great work with Avaya University. And that interview, I believe, is going to be sent out this week, I believe. But Andy Anderson will be with me 2 weeks from tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. To be honest with you, I have put my dinner, my spaghetti-o and meatballs off to the side because I want to focus completely on tonight's show. And it is an honor this evening. We're going to jump right into it to get all this information. And we're going to be speaking so fast. We have so many guests. You want to make sure that literally the next couple of days you can get on iTunes and just speak to Siri. Siri, I want to listen to Breaking the Silence podcast with Dr. Gregory Williams, and this show will be able to be replayed back so you can get all the archives and listen to the show right through your iTunes, Google, and all around the world tonight. We're going to be listening to people talk to us. So I'm just going to jump right in. I want to let you know that this information is kind of new to me, so I'm excited about getting involved with this. First guest tonight is Peter Van Dusen, and Peter is the founder of Brain Trainer International and Brain Trainer U, which offers a whole brain training approach along with leading edge neurofeedback equipment. And I will let you know neurofeedback is what we're going to be talking about. And Peter is a champion pioneer in the field for over 20 years of neurofeedback. And he has trained hundreds of clinicians and has worked directly with psychologists, psychiatrists, addiction and trauma experts in implementing successful neurofeedback brain training programs with patients that have experienced trauma, like myself. And one of the reasons I wanted to have them on is their work and their wisdom with PTSD and the military. I have had two sons in the military. One is still active, Curtis, and he's listening in tonight, of how they deal with the PTSD, addictions, mood disorders, as well as many other behavioral health conditions. So welcome, Peter Van Dusen, with us on Breaking the Silence. Peter, are you there?
Sure am.
It's an honor to have you with us tonight. I'm looking forward to having you give us your great wisdom about this neurofeedback. Tell me, What, in a nutshell, Peter, is neurofeedback, and what's the best way to even explain how neurofeedback works?
Well, I would say that neurofeedback is a way of treating the brain like the rest of the body,
Okay.
so that we know pretty much everybody's had the experience of having your body not work exactly the way you'd like it to, basically having sort of habits of low energy or high tension or a variety of things like that. And we know that we can call those things diseases or disorders, but in fact, the person who, excuse me, the person who has those issues is able to actually do training. Might be yoga or Pilates, might be aerobic exercise or weight training or things like that. And what we end up doing if we do that consistently, and we do it over a period of time, is literally to change the way our body works,
Okay.
to break old habits about the way our body operates, and to change them in a way that's automatic. So if I'm in bad shape and my dog gets out in the morning and I go out to chase it down, I can only run, 30 or 40 feet before I have to stop and catch my breath. By exercising and doing aerobics, I change the way that my body responds so that I don't have to actually run harder or think more about something. After I've exercised for a while, when I go out, I can chase the dog for 10 minutes if I need to catch him. People don't usually think of the brain as a part of the body because we often connect it with the mind. But the mind is really basically just our experience of our brain. It's our brain that perceives things through our sensory organs. It's our brain that produces expectations and learns and has a whole series of tasks that it does. In fact, there's a pretty good case that could be made for the brain literally creating the universe that each one of us lives in. Some people have said that we don't see the world the way it is. The world is the way we see it.
Oh.
So that several of us could be in the same situation and have completely different responses to that situation because of how we see it. Something that was frightening to one person could be exciting to somebody else, boring to somebody else. So the idea is that with brain training, we're going to do the same kind of thing to the brain that we would do to the body if we trained the body. That's particularly useful because in the last 30 years, since the decade of the brain in the early 90s, there's been a tremendous amount of research done using quantitative EEG brain maps. Pretty much everybody's seen the little pictures of heads with colors and so forth. But a lot of the work that's been done has been to take a group of people who have, for example, a history of trauma or
Yeah.
have an anxiety issue or depression or peak performance, and to gather EEGs, brain maps, for all of those people who have the same state or problem or whatever it is, and then compare that subpopulation of people against a normative population that's recorded in a normative database. And what they found in a tremendous number of these in these research studies has been that there are certain patterns in the energy of the brain of people, for example, who have PTSD, that are found commonly in those brains, but almost never in the quote-unquote normal brains. So those become sort of markers. We can say if we see a person who has a tremendous amount of very fast, say 23 to 38 pulses per second brain activity, that's very fast. It's a tremendous use of energy. And the primary function of that is hypervigilance, the ability to constantly be watching for danger all the time. will find that very, very strongly in people who have learned and set up their brain patterns to deal with the fact that they expect that the world is going to be dangerous. And those expectations get programmed in, they get encoded into the way the brain operates every day, every minute of every day. It's a habitual way of responding. And it's learned from our experience. So a person who experienced, for example, either neglect or abuse early in life, very early in life, a person who experienced not having the birth mother there, who experienced any kind of trauma, that person's brain is going to be trying to figure out a way to deal with that kind of a situation so it doesn't ever happen again. Right. And the brain sets up habit patterns. So the habit pattern of this hypervigilance is one that nobody gets too close to me. I can see them coming from way off. I don't trust why anybody's coming close to me. And so I will literally keep them away. And in fact, that's a survival strategy that worked. A person who went through a difficult traumatic period came out of it alive. But the brain doesn't change those patterns easily, especially something as strong as a survival pattern. So as our lives go on, we tend to be trapped by the very strategy that was designed to protect us. So a person who is hypervigilant can't form close relationships, has difficulty with social situations, is always anxious, has difficulty with lots of sleep and other kinds of autonomic issues. So that's sort of the starting point to understand how we could look at a brain. I can look at an assessment of a brain's activation pattern, and I can pretty well say to you, and most people who can do QEEGs can do this, they can say, okay, it's very likely this person is going to fall asleep easily, but then wake up within a few hours and not be able to go back to sleep. And this person will probably be very perfectionistic, maybe obsessive. And this person will be anxious or have a very low tolerance for anger, because the patterns are there in the brain that are the markers for those behaviors.
Okay, so Peter, as you're speaking about this, I'm hearing my life being described by your words, because I don't like allowing people into my life. In the last couple of years, I've tried to open that up, because when people started getting close to me, I immediately would get into that fear mode, and the fear in me would bring up a flight or a fright, kind of like the caveman illustration that I use in my talks. It's very famous around the world now. I would automatically want to get out of that situation and thus protect myself, because I thought somebody was always going to hurt me the closer they got to me. So that's a marker, you're saying, in this neurofeedback, and that can be changed, correct?
Sure. That's a strategy that your brain has adopted, and that strategy is encoded in the electrical patterns in your brain. So by looking at those patterns, and then you know, the same thing is saying, gee, you're really out of shape. You can't run more than 20 or 30 feet before you're out of breath. That's an issue that you might want to change, but we could see various things in the way your body works, and your circulation, your breathing patterns, your ability to sustain a low heart rate and so forth, that would tell us, okay, that's what's going on. That's why you're having these difficulties. And we can train physically to change that pattern in your cardiopulmonary system. In this case, we're talking about the brain. But one of the great things about it is that in some ways, by training the brain to change those patterns, you skip over all the drama of the typical training for the typical work for people who are traumatized, of trying to go back and re-experience the trauma and integrate the trauma and remember what happened and all those kinds of things, because those things don't matter. those are the mental representations of what, and emotional representations of what happened. But the result is the pattern that's in your brain. And that result is what keeps triggering the response over and over.
Okay, so how does this differ from psychotherapy, Peter, compared to neurofeedback? What's the major difference between the two?
Psychotherapy works with the mind to try to change the brain. Neurofeedback changes the brain to change the mind.
Wow.
So we actually go to the root. If you can change those patterns, which is what you do, for example, with, say, meditation or mindfulness, what do you really do with mindfulness? You don't go back and deal with old traumas and try to integrate them or anything like that. You teach your brain to get into a still place. That's one of the hardest things, as you know, for a person who has a trauma history. Being able to be still is almost impossible.
Yeah.
And so, it's an agony for a person who has that history because you can never get your mind to shut up. But by actually going to the brain itself and training the brain, we train the mind because the mind is not what drives the brain. Anybody who's ever said, I'm not going to do that anymore. I've decided this is bad. It doesn't work for me. I'm just not going to do that anymore. And 10 minutes later finds that they're doing exactly the thing they just swore they'd never do before. The conscious mind, for all its efforts to convince us that it runs the show, really doesn't. What runs the show is the brain and those patterns in our subconscious and our conscious minds that have been developed as responses to the experience that we've had in our lives.
Okay, so as we're unfolding this to a lot of people for the first time this evening, because I think this is probably the biggest audience around the world that this show will probably have received up to this date. So how, as they're starting to learn this, how long does it take for the process to start seeing changes in an average person, Peter?
Well, if there was such a thing as an average person who has a history of trauma.
Right, I understand.
That would be an interesting thing to see. But I would say in our approach is called whole brain training. So we try to identify all different patterns that exist in a person's life, and we try to identify many, many different issues in our mental and emotional life that the person would like to change, including physical things like sleep, appetite, and so forth, including the tendency to be in fight or flight all the time instead of spending more time in rest and digest, which is the other form of the autonomic nervous system. And all those things which are emotional and even intellectual, the ability to focus on things, the ability to read something and understand it after listening to it one time. All of those things we try to train at the same time by breaking up the patterns in many, many different ways. So there's a cycle of 5 sessions, usually about an hour each session, that a client goes through, usually one in the first session, the second in the second, third in the third. So you go through those 5, then you cycle back through them again, you cycle back through them like you would if you went to the gym. You do different exercises with different parts of your body each time, and that way you change the whole body.
Right.
So it's not at all uncommon that a person, even the first time through those 5, will experience an aha moment of, wow, I've never felt that before. And it's not an issue necessarily of noticing a change or feeling a change as much as it is our goal is to actually shift that stable state. So that usually takes somewhere between maybe 20 and 30, 35 sessions, usually maybe 2 a week, 3 a week, something like that. So in a matter of about 3 months, somewhere in that ballpark, 3 to 4 months, you can literally have shifted in such a way that the things that just happened in your life, you just automatically get anxious in certain situations. You just automatically back up and push away when someone starts getting too close, those things start to change. They start to go away. And in fact, you find that, gee, I just allowed myself to open up to this person, which I've never done before. And I actually feel pretty good about it. I didn't choose to do it. I didn't think about doing it, but I automatically did it just as automatically as previously I would have pushed them away. And so our goal is that at the end of the training period, you have a new set of habits, let's say, that are stable in your brain and that control the operation of your brain and your mind and your life. It's a thing which is designed to make a lasting change, and it's something.
So these are lasting changes.
Yes.
These are changes that can last for a very long time.
Not something. Well, think about how long your trauma response has lasted.
Right.
If a person who was traumatized very early in life, for the whole rest of their life, may continue to live with exactly those same patterns. And it seems like they can do nothing to fix it. They can talk about it. They can take medications for it. They can do lots of things, but the patterns remain. So if you can change the patterns, there is no good reason why the brain would say, well, yeah, I feel a lot better now. I'm able to rest more effectively. I'm able to get along better with other people and so forth, much better than it was before. But I think instead of staying with this new pattern, I'm going to go back to that old one.
Right.
You can certainly do it. You can certainly be re-traumatized or things like that. But the other thing that I think is really exciting about this, as opposed to, say, psychotherapy or medication management or things like that, when you train at the gym, you may have a personal trainer. That's the way I think of myself when I'm working with a client. But the personal trainer doesn't get down on the floor and do the sit-ups and doesn't lift the weights and stuff like that. So when you do neurofeedback, when you do brain training, it's actually you that's doing the work. I don't change your brain. I helped you to train your own brain. So a person whose life has basically been dominated by not being able to control things, not being able to be in charge of your own life, they actually have the experience of transforming their lives by themselves just by spending the time to do the work, to do the training.
Well, Peter, I'll tell you what, this is fascinating. We're going to go up to our first break right now, but I'm listening and speaking with Peter Van Dusen, the founder of Brain Trainer International and Brain Trainer U, and we're going to show you or tell you about a webinar that's coming up this coming Friday that's going to be free of charge that you can listen in on. But we're going to take our first break, and we'll come back with Peter, and then we're going to have Mary Giuliani join in on the conversation. So keep with us and stay with us for the next section here of Breaking the Silence.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us back. We have an awesome set of guests this evening, and Peter Van Dutzen's on the line with us. And I'm going to welcome now Mary Giuliani. But I understand that there is a free webinar coming up this Friday, September 20th, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern time, which I would believe would be 2 to 4 Central Time. It's called An Introduction to Brain Training, Change Your Brain by Training Your Own Brain. And you can register for that right on the brainer-trainer.com. And there's a registration link, and that's free of charge right on the homepage. I'm going to welcome in now, Peter, if you'd stay with us, I would appreciate that, and Mary Giuliani. She combines her work as a neurofeedback practitioner. I don't know what that means, but I know you're going to explain that to me here, hopefully, Mary. Are you there with me?
I am.
Hey, Mary, good. You are a master life coach in Orange County, Southern California, and I'm going to be out there in a couple weeks at a conference with the speaker or the writer of The Body Keeps Score, which I know was a major influencer in your life. So thank you and welcome to Breaking the Silence. Mary, I appreciate you being here tonight.
No problem. I'm thrilled to be here, Dr. Williams. Yeah, I got to tell you, reading Bessel van der Kolk's book, The Body Keeps the Score, was a huge turning point for me. And I'm glad to hear that you're also very familiar with him and will be following him as a speaker at the conference in Newport Beach.
Yeah, that's going to be wonderful. And hopefully we'll get a chance to have coffee and talk and maybe visit a little bit. How did that book inspire you to start looking into the neurofeedback area?
Well, what happened was I've been on a personal growth track for, gosh, over 30 years. And I was raised in my mother was an extremely anxious mom. And so when I was a little girl, my parents really didn't have too many conflict resolution skills. So they had a lot of tension in their relationship. And then my mom started drinking pretty heavily when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And became a pretty severe alcoholic by the time I was 9 or 10. And so I developed a lot of anxiety just because of her. She would rage a lot when she was drinking, and it was really, really painful. And so I developed a lot of anxiety and ended up with an eating disorder to calm myself through that period. And not knowing that all of these things that I'm going to share about right now were related to how my brain had developed, related to this trauma of just being raised in a crazy alcoholic home. And then by the time I was 16, I started drinking and, smoking pot and all those crazy things. And I was over 300 pounds and really out of control. And thank God I got sober in my late 20s. And then a few years later, I got diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, and I'd been anxious most of my life, but I never knew it had anything to do with the way my brain had developed in my childhood. And I never thought I had trauma, because I always thought that trauma had to be physical abuse or sexual abuse. And what happened for me was I was an adult child of an alcoholic, but I never considered that to be trauma. So finally, after all these years, and I'd already was sober, but I was still struggling, even though I was on antidepressants and for anxiety and stuff, I was still struggling with anxiety, and I was still struggling with relationships, and I was still struggling with impulsivity and sleep. And so finally I read the book, Body Keeps the Score, and I was just amazed that all of these veils started lifting, like, oh my God, well, no wonder I had so much anxiety growing up. No wonder I needed to use food to medicate my anxiety and fear. My mom's emotional, even before she started drinking, she was extremely anxious. So no wonder I'm sure that was going on in the womb, And so I learned from The Body Keeps the Score that when you are raised in a really stressful, toxically stressful environment, your frontal lobe of your brain does not develop properly because it has to dedicate the most of its resources developing the fight-flight region, which is the back part of your brain. And the front part of my brain is responsible for impulse control. Well, no wonder I had a problem not being able to control my eating. No wonder I had a problem not being able to control the drinking. My frontal lobe was not developed properly. And so I'm having all of these major insights as I'm reading this book. And I think one of the biggest things for me was, you know, when you grow up with addictions and when you grow up with, you know, morbid obesity and that sort of thing, it's hard not to think that you're weak and a loser and there's something wrong with you and you're unlovable. And that book really helped me get that it was never my fault to begin with. You know, challenges that I had, because our culture shames us so much for having addictions or having mental health issues and things. And it really made me realize I was just exposed to an environment where my brain adapted the best way it knew how. And even though I don't need these adaptations, it's still operating in that way, like Pete was talking about. And so anyway, fast forward, I'm reading this book and I'm just like, okay, so what are the solutions? And then Dr. Van der Kolk in the book talks about how neurofeedback is one of, if not the best way to resolve trauma, because it literally gives you that mirror of your brain as you, basically you're hooked up to, you have electrodes on your brain. There's no electricity going into your brain. You basically are having electrodes to read your brain frequencies. And then you have a program in a computer that is rewarding you anytime you hit a frequency that's aligned with a calm, focused, flexible brain, so that you are actually training your brain to be able to operate in a healthy way. And so literally within, I would say, I don't know, gosh, 4-5 sessions, I was able to sleep without sleep meds, because I wasn't able to sleep without sleep meds, even though I was on these antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds. And then within probably a few months, I was able to decrease my antidepressants by about 50%. And the other thing I noticed after a few months of brain training was I wasn't so anxious in my social environment. And I wasn't as anxious in dating and that sort of thing. And now I've been in a great relationship for the past year. And I had no idea that the reason I struggled with relationships had to do with my brain still being hyper aroused and dysregulated from this childhood trauma. And at first it was like, oh my God, finally I understand why I've been the way I've been my whole life. And then I got really kind of pissed off, actually, like, well, how come the therapist that I've been to and all of the different books I've read, how come nobody ever told me that, you know, well, look, let me just back up for a second. Dr. Van der Kolk states in his book that you can't heal trauma with talk therapy alone, because trauma lives in the nervous system and in the brain and in the body. And so I'm like, oh my God, all these years I've been, you know, doing therapy and I've been doing personal growth groups. And literally, and yes, those are not to say they're not helpful, because they are. They really have helped me in so many ways. But here I am 30, you know, in my 50s and still struggling with these things. So neurofeedback has been a game changer for me.
So it's changed your life. It's so neurofeedback. This isn't just a game.
Completely.
This is a life-changing experience.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because basically you're resetting your brain from being hyper-aroused and dysregulated to where you're able to have a brain that's operating in a much more normal and flexible and calmer way. Absolutely. And
so you combine the neurofeedback with your business as a life coach, and you feel that goes together very well, and it's been worked very well for you out in Orange County.
Absolutely. Well, and just to back up a little bit on that too, is so what I did is I started researching neurofeedback practitioners for myself after reading Gussel's book. And what I was frustrated with was that there was nobody really in my area that even talked about treating childhood trauma for neurofeedback. And I really wanted an expert with childhood trauma. And then also, I read that I was probably going to need probably about 40 sessions. And so if you did the math, you know, $100 a session would be about $4,000. And I thought, well, you know, I wonder if there's a way I can buy my own equipment and do it for myself. And that's when I found Brain Trainer. Actually, it's brain-trainer.com. And found that that I could actually buy my own equipment and be mentored in how to train my own brain with their equipment. And that's exactly what I did. So I've been training my own brain for the past 2 years. And and like I said, I've gotten such great results. And I mean, the other thing is, even though I've been sober and everything, I was still feeling impulsive in other ways and you know, just behaviors that weren't in my best interest. And it's really helped with that as well. And so then it was like, wow, I've got this background in life coaching. Why don't I combine neurofeedback with life coaching? And so now I'm working, you know, I have clients where I can help, you know, I love working with people that have a background of childhood trauma so that they can not only get the benefit of neurofeedback, but I can also help them get focused on making changes in their life so they're getting their brain regulated as well as their life on track, and having the empathy and compassion of somebody that really gets what it's like to have the struggle and the long shadow of childhood trauma. So,
unbelievable. Yeah. Now, we're going to bring in, because our time is getting kind of down towards the last segment, we're going to bring in Stacey Brightman right now. She's also a neurofeedback practitioner. And, Stacey, are you there with us tonight, too?
I'm here.
I have Mary in Orange County, California. I have you out in Atlanta, Georgia. Pete, where are you from?
I'm in Stacy's backyard. I'm in Atlanta. She's actually up closer to Chattanooga.
Okay, fantastic. So welcome, Stacy. And you are a neurofeedback practitioner, too, as well as a director of Home Trainers for Brain Training International. So tell me a little bit. How did you find out, Stacy, about the importance of neurofeedback and before you got involved with it, and how did it help you?
Yeah, I started hearing about neurofeedback from about three different people in three different areas of my life. And I'm not even sure to this day why they mentioned it to me at the time, but three different people did. And as soon as I started hearing more about it and what it was, I knew that this was something that I needed for my daughter. She was 16 years old at the time, struggling with school, struggling with anxiety, struggling with depression. Medications had not helped. She was actually on three medications, but none of them were really helping her. And I thought, you know, this is, I found a local practitioner here. And I thought, you know, if I have two pennies to rub together, I'm doing it for her sake. And, you know, we had both ran out of hope, but I thought, you know, I'm going to give it one more try. And she started doing neurofeedback at a center here in Chattanooga. And of all of the things that we had ever done for her, and we had done many things and spent tens of thousands of dollars trying to help her, if you'd have put all of them in a pile in the middle of the floor, they wouldn't have amounted to a hill of beans compared to what 20 sessions of neurofeedback did for her.
Wow.
It was literally nothing short of miraculous for her. She had struggled with school.
And because of the ADHD and the Asperger's, is that
what
we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And nothing had helped. Nothing had helped. And neurofeedback put this sweet girl back on her feet and set her on a course for success that honestly we didn't think was possible. We didn't know that it could be that good. And after seeing the results with her, you know, after trying to homeschool her for 11 years, you can imagine my anxiety was through the roof. My depression was through the roof. My defensiveness was getting the best of me. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, when I saw what it had done for her, I thought, I need this for myself.
How long did it take before you saw a difference in her right away? How long?
She probably after about 10 sessions, okay, could tell something was different, and she could tell, but she couldn't articulate it. But she stopped crying through school. She stopped, at 16 years old, she would have meltdowns before we could even start a school day. She would hide from me to keep from having to do math. She would shut down on me immediately. Those days stopped. And she was a year behind in school. We have now, in a year and a half, we have gotten her caught back up. She's a senior this year, going to be graduating on time. So all those kinds of things.
So the thing I like about this with your story, Stacey, you're talking about this is life change today. This is something that you're experiencing right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, she was 16 at the time. She's turning 18 next month. And to be honest with you, and I'm sure Pete can speak more about this than I can, but what I'm seeing are the benefits she's received through neurofeedback. Even though she stopped doing neurofeedback a year and a half ago, they have continued to improve. The benefits and the improvements did not stop when she stopped neurofeedback.
How do we get the benefits still after the neurofeedback has stopped and you still receive the benefits of it?
If you start going to the gym and working out,
there you go,
and getting yourself in shape, then what happens? You don't necessarily have to keep going to the gym all the time because you're using your body. You're walking, you're going to, you're riding the bike, you're doing whatever you do. And in the case of a young person who's developing, the brain is developing at certain points in the person's life, certain skills, and you're ready for certain specific things, then the fact that you're now able to actually interact with your life in a completely different way, which is what Stacey's described, then you're going to continue to develop, but not develop on that sort of limited path you were on, but develop on the path that you're capable of. I would say that's one of the most common things that I saw. I did 10 years in Atlanta of four offices here doing neurofeedback back in the 90s, and we actually brought people back a year later, some of them 2 years later, just to see whether the changes lasted. And the most common thing that we heard was we actually saw more changes in the 6 months after we stopped training than we did during the time we were training.
Absolutely fascinating. That's fascinating. Stacey, so you actually saw the progress and the advancement of it after it stopped. Keep going, Stacey. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
No, you're absolutely right. That is exactly what we've seen. And so after seeing the changes in her, I knew I needed this for myself, for my husband, for our older daughter. And so again, like Mary, I started researching, finding out how can I do this, because it's very expensive. But I needed it and found Brain Trainer. And I remember my initial conversation with Pete, because you gotta consider at this time, I was a stay-at-home mom who had been homeschooling my kids for 11 years. I knew nothing about the brain, nothing. I knew nothing about neurofeedback. I knew nothing about frequencies in the brains and hypervigilance and fight or flight mode. All I knew was that my life wasn't working. And I remember Pete saying to me, you can do this. You can train your own brain. And for some reason, I believed him, and I bought the system from him, and I learned how to use it. I took the time, and I did what he's talking about. I sat down, and I did the work, and I trained my own brain, and then I felt what my daughter had felt, and it is beyond words to describe the change that you feel when you commit to this and you walk it out the whole way. Some of the things that I felt were I felt like my brain was full of swirling thoughts all the time. Mm-hmm. I couldn't decide what I thought about. They thought, my thoughts controlled me.
Right.
I was defensive. I was emotional. I was controlling. I was obsessive. I was. Mm-hmm. I couldn't sleep. All of these things. And after about 9 sessions, literally it was 3 weeks to the day that I started training. I feel all this, literally it was like a light switch that turned on, and I feel like the way I describe it is that all of my swirling thoughts found their own real estate and pulled into the garage and walked into the house, poured a glass of wine, and got in the bubble bath with some spa music on. And that's where my brain was. And it's continued from that day. Like, do I have bad days? Absolutely, I do.
I
have days where I cry? Yeah, sure. But I live my life in a totally different place today than I did before brain training. And
fantastic.
Here's the neat thing.
Wow. That's fascinating, Stacey. I tell you what, we're going to come up to another commercial break, and then we're going to bring in Dr. Sherry Hanley on the other side of this next break. So stay with us for Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Tonight, from not only the practitioners for the neurofeedback system, but the actual founder of Brain Trainer International, Brain Trainer U, Peter Van Dusen, and we also have Mary with us and Stacey Brightman. But now I'm going to bring in Dr. Sherry Hanley, and Sherry has been a naturopath and a neurofeedback practitioner for over 20 years. Dr. Hanley, are you with us from North Carolina now? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm right here. And it's actually, I need to correct that. That's only been 16 years. Not that 4 years makes that big of a difference.
Okay, we don't want to get you old fast, so we'll knock that 20 down to 16. But that's, you're in double digits, Dr. Hanley, with this neurofeedback practitioner. Can you tell me how... What led you into this field, and how did you get involved with it?
Mine is a little bit backwards compared to what the others were talking about. I was approached by two psychotherapists that worked with RAD children. It means reactive attachment disorder. And they asked me if I would be interested in doing neurofeedback with their RAD children. And my response was, well, what's neurofeedback and what's RAD? And well, basically, here I am 16 years later.
Right. Now you have worked directly, because you have a piece of my heart here, you have worked directly with many veterans that have experienced, that was dealing with PTSD, and you've seen help with that through this neurofeedback system, correct?
Absolutely. The first person, as the show was coming on, the first person that I thought of was a gentleman who was SEAL Team 6. And I'm very fortunate, an associate of mine, he does what's called a PCL-5. Are you familiar with what that is?
No.
A PCL-5 is a a test that's given for people with PTSD, and it's a system of scoring, and anything over 33 means that you have PTSD. So this gentleman came in, and he scored a 60. Now, keep in mind, that's, you know, 33 and over is what they're looking at for PTSD. So he scored a 60, and he came in, and he did neurofeedback, and at the end of 7 weeks, he was at a 6.
Wow. Mm. Okay, so it changes people's lives. So
absolutely.
With your work with the VA, well, tell me about that and the neurofeedback. How has that worked?
Well, I've been working with a lot of PTSD, not even just the soldiers. I mean, as I said, the first 2 years that I did neurofeedback, I worked primarily with foster care children, children that have, you know, gone through a lot of what you've already spoken about. They've been beaten, abused, thrown up against the wall, sexually assaulted, you know, left for nothing, neglected. I mean, you name it, the trauma that has come through. I remember going home and holding my kids and crying because what I worked with every day, I just can't believe human beings can do this to other human beings. It was just really tough. So I jumped from the frying pan into the fire and started working with the soldiers after that. I'm very fortunate. As a naturopathic doctor, I also have a hyperbaric chamber, and I've also been trained in EFT, tapping. So I was able to really move through and really work with the soldiers. I've also worked a lot with police officers, fire departments. It's amazing. I know, and I'm not trying to belittle soldiers, but a lot of people really relate and understand to the PTSD that our soldiers go through. But to be quite honest with you, the toughest are the police officers that I've seen.
Okay, explain that. Why would that be tougher than a soldier? Is it because of the environment that they're in? We shouldn't be on enemy ground, or what's the issue there?
You know, I think you might have nailed it right there, and that's just a theory, and that's just my thought. It seems that when a soldier goes in and does, you know, one tour 365 days, it's not in their backyard, it's not in their territory, it is in another country, and then they do know at some point they are able to come home, you know, and that's their focus, that's their goal, that's their, you know, that's their light at the end of the tunnel. Whereas it seems like the police officers that come in, they've been dealing with this day after day in their backyard, and it's not a one tour of duty. This is, you know, they do this till they retire, a lot of them. And, you know, if a partner dies in their arms, then they get another partner in a period of time. And so I've definitely noticed that I feel, in my opinion, in my practice, that the soldiers do have the PTSD, and they do come in, and we, you know, I do handle them, and, you know, we work together, but definitely the police officers seem to have a lot more involved than I've seen with our soldiers.
Okay, so this neurofeedback works well with them also.
Oh, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. As I said, this gentleman came in, and he scored a 60 on the PCL, and at the end of 7 weeks, he was at a 6. It is really amazing. His wife wound up coming in. It's very common that when one person, like I believe Stacy was saying, you know, she worked with her daughter and then she wound up doing it. It is extremely common that I have one person from a family come in, and then usually the rest of the family comes in.
Fantastic. Now, when you deal with actual people that has had childhood trauma, what does the neurofeedback, what gets you excited about that with the childhood trauma, and how does that deal with, you know, for that? That's what I would probably use this for, because I was sexually abused every day for almost my first 17 years of life.
Okay.
How would this help me? How would this help me sleep? How would this help me deal with my flight and fright mode that I'm in a lot?
Well, I'll tell you, about 2 weeks ago, I think of things as you're talking, and about 2 weeks ago, a woman came in, and she was dealing with something extremely similar to what you're talking about. And she had been coming in for a few weeks. She's been in therapy for the past 2 years about her situation. And after about right around the two-week mark, she turned as she's walking out my office, and she goes, "I want you to know something." She says, "I have been going to a therapist for 2 years now," and she goes every single week, and she said, "This is the first time I've gone in 2 years, and I didn't cry."
Wow.
And
life-changing.
I know this sounds strange. I don't love the part of doing the neurofeedback. What I love is the response that neurofeedback provides for the people. And what this tool has been for people that have come through my office. I mean, I could tell you story after story after story of the trauma that has come through my office, and the hugs and the tears and the joy. It's a tool that I'm so extremely grateful to have knowledge about.
That's fantastic. And I tell you, we're winding down. I knew this hour would fly by. I knew with this many awesome guests on here, there would be like 30 seconds in this hour. It just has flown by so much. I want to let you know that if you want to get some information on neurofeedback to help with your childhood trauma, your PTSD, with not only you but your family, I want you to visit brain-trainer.com. You can email them tonight at info@brain-trainer.com. You can speak to somebody directly if you want to call 1-833-224-5895. And Mary or somebody at braintrainer.com will be happy to discuss all the ways to be able to get involved with the system. And I do know there is an exciting free webinar that's going to be happening this Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's called The Introduction. And this, to me, and any of you four can answer, this would be like how to break into it, how to understand it, and even more in depth than what we've talked about tonight. Is that correct? Anybody want to respond to that, what this webinar is going to involve?
That's probably pretty close, yeah. Certainly what we've been able to talk about today, but in more depth, and then for people that are either interested in trying to figure out how it might be used in their own situation, or professionals who are interested in finding out more about how they can become trainers. This one's actually focused on home-based training. Stacy and I will be doing it, I believe. So we'll be talking about family situations and a lot of the things that have been mentioned this evening.
Okay, that's great. That's called The Introduction to Brain Training. Change your brain by training your own brain, and that'll be Friday, that free webinar, September 20th from 1 to 3 Eastern Time. I tell you what, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight, Pete and Mary and Stacy and Sherry and everybody for being here. Maybe we can have you on again. I do know this is going to be on ACES Connection and around the world, not only tonight, but the next couple weeks. It's going to just be broadcast everywhere. And I want to thank you for joining me tonight with Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams, and thank you all for being here. If you're listening in tonight, I want to remind yourself to be gentle to yourself, be good to yourself no matter what you're in, no matter what has happened to you. I want to let you know there is always hope for you. Join us next week, 8 p.m. Central Time, for another edition of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1, for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.